Good people. At least those of you who are still left in this beautiful world. Because I've been ostracized. I just got done being absolutely ridiculed right here amongst teammates here at ESPN West Palm. I thought they were my friends. I thought we were a work family. But C-Cat, who's on the other side of the ones and twos, we just got done talking Jets. I was being all positive, all optimistic. I saw the light. I was happy. Now I'm ticked off.
It's the argument that just won't quit.
Yes, the airport stuff. I come in there to make a ruling on the seat recliner thing. And all I say is, hey, about 10% of the times I will recline my seat. And I don't make a big to-do about it. I can fall asleep with my seat straight up. A little bit of extra room. Also, I pay for the comfort to upgrade to a better seat because I got kind of longer legs. And I don't like my knees pushing up against the backs of other people's chairs. That's inconvenient for them. And now, as I was trying to define airplane inconveniences, apparently I struck a chord with the entire office and I became who's like a supervillain? Who's the guy in Harry Potter? They don't say his name.
Voldemort.
I evolve into Voldemort right before your eyes.
You're really Sirius Black. You're a little misunderstood.
What do you mean?
Sirius Black.
That's his real name?
I didn't say Seriously Black. I said,
yeah, I was about to say, Sirius what is Black. Now you're the villain. Z-Cat's the villain now. I'm not the villain anymore. He did it. He overrid me.
He's in jail. He shouldn't be. That is Sirius Black.
Okay. He's in jail?
You know, I don't want to spoil
stuff. Okay, all right. I'll watch Harry Potter later. Here's the issue. When I was listing off inconveniences that can happen on an airplane, I also said, it is an inconvenience to others when somebody else's baby is crying. So, and that was like, I thought I had some companions on this. I thought people would be like, yeah, you're right. That is inconvenient. I became the worst guy in the world, and I don't understand it. You know what? I'll bring in somebody who would understand it because he has experience having kids, and I'm sure he's been on airplanes where there were other kids that didn't belong to him. We're bringing in the voice of the 305.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami Sports Radio.
Hey, you could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley Gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins Delusion.
Can the Bills offense keep up with the Dolphins offense?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo. Woo! Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305.
That's right, he is, and he joins us here on a Thirsty Thursday, the best day of the week. Zaz, you're fresh off of national ESPN radio, and we said just stick around a little longer. Need a little more.
I just wrapped up on the network, and I immediately joined you. How are you, Theo?
I'm good, but I might not be in good standing anymore here at ESPN West Palm because in front of everybody in the offices, we're having airplane debates about what inconveniences are
I'm
and
an
what's
expert.
Right and wrong. Thank you. All I said, Zaz, was that it is inconvenient to others when your baby is crying on the plane. I didn't say it is illegal. I didn't say we should stop doing it. I just said it is inconvenient to others. Where's your standing on that?
Yeah, I will tell you, I think I'm a good air traveler. I'm pretty easy. I'm very easygoing. All right, I'm not pretty. I'm very easygoing. And I will tell you, as someone who had to take kids on flights when they were young, I don't get upset when there's a crying baby. I don't. It is inconvenient to other people,
okay,
for sure. All right, like it's not convenient.
It is. It's inconvenient.
It's certainly annoying, but I don't get upset about the crying baby because I could tell you with 1,000% certainty, no one wants that baby to stop crying more than the mother.
Yeah.
All right. Like the parents want that baby to stop crying the most out of everyone. And they are likely doing everything they can to try and stop that baby from crying. So you're uncomfortable. It's annoying, but it's not even close to as uncomfortable as it's making that mother. So that's why I don't get upset about it.
Well, all right, so
just as no one wants that baby to stop crying more than the mother or father that's carrying the baby, no one wanted that baby to exist more so than the father or the mother of the baby.
What?
I didn't make you have a kid.
Yes, that was my point. So here's the thing. This is where it started at. It started here. We're going to sound like terrible people because C-Cat and I obviously are a little younger. We don't have children. So we're speaking from a place of privilege. Mm-hmm. We can get that out of the way. Here's the thing. We were talking about the inconvenience you cause others on an airplane when you recline your seat, which is an option that is built into each jet. They give you a seat recliner. You recline it. It goes back not crazy far, just a little bit.
It's like 2 inches.
Yeah, it's not that crazy of an adjustment. And there is a picket line out there of people marching and fighting against people that recline their seats. And I'm like, sure, somebody reclining in their seat is a bit of an inconvenience. But so are these other things. And I deal with them, and it's not a whole thing I'm going to, like, I'm not going to parade or protest against it. It's not that big of an issue.
Yeah, Russo and Rizzo asked me about the plane reclining yesterday, and I have no problem with it. Yeah. I really don't. Now, I think there's a way to do it where you're trying to be courteous, like I'm not snapping back my seat where, you know, it's going to knock over someone's drink if they have their tray out. So I would like it to be done in a courteous enough fashion. You do it slowly. All right, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to have to adjust my iPad a little bit on my tray? It's not that big a deal, all right? I rarely recline my chair because I don't see the point. I can't fall asleep on planes, so it's not that big a deal to me. But person in front of me wants to recline their seat, I don't have an issue with it. Like I told you, I think people on planes, they're flying could be stressful. Yeah. It could certainly be exhausting. It could ruin your plans. You know, if something goes wrong, you end up being late, and that's upsetting to people. But I just think it's so much easier to just relax and be courteous, and that I fly often. All right, starting in 2 weeks, I'm going to be flying every single week during college football season.
Yeah, talk about the tour. What's the tour called again on ESPN Radio?
College football tailgate. Yeah, I just find it so much an easier experience flying if you're courteous. That's all.
That is true, and you try and be as courteous as possible to others while also prioritizing your own comfortability. And we all work in a society, and we're working in unison. We're just trying to get from point A to point B. But C-Cat brought up a great point that I also brought up that I got absolutely ridiculed for because they said reclining your seat is an option, it is a choice, and it is inconvenient to others. And I just was like, well, yeah, well, you created that baby, and I didn't tell you to do that, and I also didn't tell you to bring him on the plane.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think reclining the seat's a big deal. People freak out. It's not worth freaking out. It's not that big a deal.
It's not that crazy. It's not that crazy. John DeZaslow joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3 on a Thirsty Thursday, the best day of the week. I mean, we're a few Thursdays away from kicking off the NFL season. I just got done talking with C-Cat about the Giants and the Jets and about the situations both teams are currently in. The Giants, you got Daboll and Shane. Literally walking on eggshells, trying to keep their jobs. You got a quarterback room that's Russell Wilson going into the twilight of his career, whereas Jackson Dart is looking for a proper start to his. And you also have a team with an owner who has put out multiple statements about the tenures of the people in charge there. So it feels a bit desperate. The Jets, who are at joint practices with them, feel like they have a breath of fresh air with Aaron Glenn, with Justin Fields as a stopgap quarterback, with a defense that I believe is bordering on elite and they're good at every level. I told C-Cat, the Jets, I am much more confident in their success going forward than whatever the hell is going to happen with the Giants over the next few seasons. Who do you feel more confident in between these two teams, one of them being in the division with your Dolphins?
Oh, well, I think both teams are going to be really lousy this year, but going forward, I'm more confident in the Giants because I feel like they have a quarterback right now, not Russell Wilson. I feel like they have a quarterback right now who might turn into something. You know, the Jets, I don't think Justin Fields is very good. You know, their backup, we're talking Tyrod Taylor here. The Jets don't have, you know, that next quarterback. Like, he's a stopgap, Justin Fields, and I suppose next year they'll draft someone. But the Giants, they got a guy who at least can give them a little bit of hope. Like, I suppose there are Jets fans who, Justin Fields, like, we're going to be the place where he finally figures it out.
Yeah.
I feel like we've seen enough of Justin Fields to know that we've seen enough. So this is like a nothing season to me. Now, I do like, if I'm a Jets fan, I like how quiet things have been.
Yes.
All right, for a change, it's nice that there isn't a whole lot going on around us right now. And Aaron Glenn, okay, fine. I'm giving him an opportunity. He may wind up being great. Maybe he's the next Dan Campbell. I don't know. Now, while I don't believe that Brian Daboll is long for that job in New York, at least there's a quarterback there who looked pretty good in preseason, game number one. I don't want to be hyperbolic about it, okay? It is just preseason. But at least you got a guy there who you know you're going to see a little bit this year and could give you a little bit of hope moving forward.
I would just be so shocked if Aaron Glenn doesn't, like, work out in a very good way for the Jets. Like, I would be shocked if he's not their answer for at least the next 5 years and if he doesn't set a program there that feels like one that is on an upper trajectory. Like, I think they're actually better constructed today than both the Dolphins and the Patriots. With the defense they have, the offensive line they have, the running game that they have, they got three guys in the backfield that Aaron Glenn apparently loves. And then also, they didn't just bring in Aaron Glenn. They got the, not the OC, but Tanner Engstrom from the Lions, going to be the OC over there with the Jets, who's supposed to be a guy that was one of the, creators of what Ben Johnson was able to do and make that Lions offense so prolific. Like, I feel like this year we're underestimating what the Jets can be because the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers and his lackeys hovered over that program in such a horrendous way.
Yeah, do I think the Jets could be a team that wins 7 or 8 games?
Yeah.
I suppose.
That's all I'm saying, 8 games.
I suppose, yeah. But it doesn't mean anything big picture-wise until you have a quarterback. And, Justin Fields, I don't think is the guy long-term.
I can agree with you on that. What about your Dolphins? I just don't see the offensive line issues feel like they're still there. They can't run the ball
run the ball on the goal line.
Yeah.
That entire series, they were opening up some pretty fat holes for Devon Achane, all right?
Right?
Now when you get to the goal line, you want to be able to have a power back who can, stuff it in. I think Ollie Gordon could wind up playing a role there. I hope he ends up being that guy, but it does not seem to be this bruising offensive line, all right? So I'll give you that. From what I understand, yesterday's joint practice of the Lions was apparently a disgrace, all
yes.
right? Like the Detroit media there, it's like they'd never seen a bad football team before. They couldn't believe how bad the Dolphins looked, and that says something considering they're covering the Detroit Lions.
Right.
It wasn't that long ago that the Lions are wearing the paper bags of the games, all right, and the Dolphins left them flabbergasted with their performance yesterday at the joint practice. But I will say what I am reading coming out of today was that the Dolphins bounced back in a very big way. Apparently, the Dolphins look very good today, and the Dolphins may have won that joint practice today against the Detroit Lions. But I will tell you, I think the Dolphins are like a sneaky pick this year terrible team.
Okay, yes, I'm with you. I'm actually lockstep with you on that. I feel terrible about the prospects of the Miami Dolphins. I mean, start with this. They already had a shaky defensive backfield last year. They lost all of their starters from that, and you have injuries in camp. I don't know who the hell is going to be out there playing corner and nickel for the Dolphins this year that's going to give you any kind of confidence to stop the likes of the guys they're going to have to go up against. Receivers at an all-time high right now.
There's just a lot of fires, it seems, between the Lions this week and the Bears last week, where the players on the other teams are talking about how, that team right there, I don't know if they know how to practice. That's a soft team. You got players talking out about the Dolphins and about the coach, and you got Jalen Ramsey taking shots at the coach, and you got the Tyreek Hill situation, and you got the secondary where, my God, that's not an NFL-caliber secondary. It feels, and, we're talking about culture still when it comes to the head coach. It just feels like there's so much going on that you can't have if you're a decent football team. I don't really know what the Dolphins are going to be this year. They could go one direction and go the other direction. That's why I say I think they might be a sneaky pick for a terrible team this year.
Right. Like if I told you, there's two boxes. One of them says the Dolphins wins 12 games. The other one says they win 4 games. I would be so much quicker to jump on the 4 games box.
Yeah, I would too. 12's a lot of wins.
12 and 5.
I would... 4 is just a horrendous season, but I would click on the box with 4 before 12.
Yeah, and then you always have to, the caveat with the Dolphins year in and year out is asterisk if Tua stays healthy. And I thought that I fooled myself into thinking, hey, maybe this Quinn Ewers guy.
Nah, I wouldn't read too much. There's a lot of drop balls.
He's
out there with guys who are not even going to be in the NFL. I wouldn't look so much into that preseason. He wasn't good, obviously,
yeah.
But I wouldn't look so deep into that performance.
Who do you think?
I'd rather him be the backup than Zach Wilson.
And that's what I was about to get to. Who do you think between Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers? Like, we've seen a lot of Zach Wilson.
That Zach Wilson's terrible.
Yeah.
All I keep reading about is interception, interception, interception. He should have had a pick 6. He threw that duck out last week against Chicago.
Yeah.
And he He underthrew whoever the tight end was who would have walked into the end zone with a touchdown. He underthrew him by about 6 yards. Zach Wilson's terrible. I would much rather have Quinn Ewers be the backup.
It's a weird situation.
It doesn't matter either way. Like, if Tua doesn't play, team's screwed anyway. Yeah. I'd rather have Quinn Ewers the backup.
Jonathan Zaslow from ESPN Radio and Zaslow Show 2.0 joining us on Theoretically Speaking here as we talk a little ball, talk some Dolphins, talk the NFL. You said the Dolphins are a surprise team to be horrendous. Do you have a surprise team who can be, like, just really good next year, similar to what the Commanders did, similar to what the Lions did a couple of years ago, that can pop out of nowhere?
Man, that's a good question. All right. Well, I don't know if it would be a surprise team. I think Chicago's going to be a playoff team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think Caleb Williams is going to be really good. I know we're gonna see him for the first time this weekend, and it was a whole to-do that he didn't play in the first preseason game. And from what I understand, he has not looked great in Bears training camp. He is learning a whole new system, okay, and that was the start of camp. You still got a few more weeks here. So maybe Chicago. I think Chicago's going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to finish second in that division. Mm. So I think my answer is Chicago.
Who you got first? Lions?
First in the division? Yeah. Yeah, still Lions winning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got the Packers and Vikings duking it out to make sure to see who's not going to be last in the NFC North.
No, I think the Packers are going to be last.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is that? Now, that was a shocker.
Whatever, you know, whatever.
That was a shocker. What is that? Why anti-Packers take?
I'm not a believer in Jordan Love. I'm not on the Jordan Love train. And now look, I'm not sitting here telling you Packers are going to have a number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe the Packers win 7 games, you know, and they're last in divisions. That's a good division right there.
I just feel like Matt LaFleur is such a good coach. I mean, he was the last person to get anything good out of Aaron Rodgers, which I know I'm being facetious, but like that was the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers look like even a shell of his actual self. And Jordan Love has been good, but he was hurt last year. I think we judge him way too harshly.
Hey,
I
he's already having surgery this year on his thumb. He's got a hurt thumb.
Wait till he gets healthy. John Zaslow joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, talking a little ball. What else out of Miami? I know that Zaslow Show 2.0 covers all things Miami. And is there anything else brewing out of Miami between the Marlins, the Panthers, the Dolphins, the Canes?
Well, we're keeping track of the Dolphins, but I will say, you know, I mean, the Marlins are what they are, but this Jacob Marcy, my goodness. I mean, last night he was 4 for 5. He had 2 home runs. He had 7 RBI. You know, he was just called up to the big leagues less than 2 weeks ago. He was one of the prospects they got in the Luis Arraez trade. He's got a 1,400 OPS right now. And just for a little bit of context, that's better than Barry Bonds. All right. So, you know, Jacob Marcy, granted, he was just called up, but I don't know. That's something fun to keep an eye on. Maybe this kid's going to wind up being the real deal for them.
So Jacob Marcy just called up. How many years until he's a Yankee?
I'm trying to not think about that. You know,
I hate that for baseball fans.
I just
want
to be excited about a young player.
I know. I hate that for baseball fans. Zaz, where can people get more of Zaslow Show 2.0 and lock in on your hot Miami takes?
Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, just download Zaslow Show 2.0. We cover everything Miami sports Monday through Friday, and we're presented by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-FREE. If you got a personal injury, you've been in an accident, they will get you the compensation you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-FREE. 800-747-3733.
Zaz, appreciate your time. We will catch you next week and enjoy some football this weekend, Doc.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya.
That is Jonathan Zaslow, Zaslow Show 2.0, kicking it with us the right way and agreeing that, yes, you can recline on an airplane, but he also does say that maybe we should take it easy on the babies on the plane. I feel like I alienated everybody. I probably shouldn't have said it on the air because now I feel like there's fans of Theoretically Speaking. It's like, oh, I don't rock with this dude no more.
Yeah, babies in the plane can be tough. They do annoy everyone
yes,
on the plane.
It's true.
You're not supposed to say anything about it.
We're not allowed to state the obvious.
In person, you're not supposed to be like, hey.
No.
Hey, hush. Pipe down up know. Front.
I don't think that would work is the issue.
Hey, keep your tot.
And the funny thing, too, is I act as if I'm up in arms, but I don't like it. It's annoying. I am so quick to knock out on a plane, though. Like, I sleep well on a plane. I will wear my noise-canceling headphones and sleep right through it. Sometimes I wear my shades and the headphones just to, like, block out everything. So it's not that the babies keep me up, but it is a little annoying for the, like, 10 minutes that I am awake.
Yeah. It'd be a bigger problem if headphones didn't exist.
Yeah.
Then I might be tapping some parents on some shoulders, like, hey, listen, we got a plane full of people here. Everyone has shied away from doing what I'm doing right now. But you got to knock it off.
Cut this out. So, you know, I've never been in a situation.
I will.
Yeah. I've never been in a situation where I've been sitting in the same row as a crying baby.
Really? With how much you fly?
I more so mean like in the same like ABC, like I'm in B and the baby's in C. I've never had that situation.
I've been like kicked by babies. Like,
I've had consistently kids behind me.
Kicked, like no, like to my left.
Oh, to your
where
left.
Where it is mother on the aisle seat. Baby, actually, they actually leave the middle seat empty.
And sit the baby in it.
Sit the baby in it. And when the baby gets restless, the mom will hold the baby and the baby's legs will get active.
Start
and
kicking.
I will get just like a dead leg.
And there's nothing you could do. What are you supposed to
do? No, I had to pick up the baby's like toy keys that are on the floor that fell next to my shoe.
Oh my God. Babies are such nuisances to the general population. I get it. They're nuisances to their parents all the time, but I don't like how just because the parents, and again, I say this as a person without babies. I was a baby at one time though, so I feel like I can speak from experience.
It's true.
I don't like how just because the parents are enduring the brunt end of it, means that we're not allowed to also be inconvenienced or upset with our place in the situation because the parents chose that lifestyle. I didn't.
Yeah,
not yet.
You chose to fly commercial, and that
I
was
did.
The risk that you ran by not flying private, Theo. If you flew private, you could have a assurance that there would be no baby on the plane.
That is true. If only I could just fly private like that. I want to give a shout to my guy Cody who said he missed the show. Cody in the YouTube chat. This is the Cody that dunked on me at one point. He missed the show yesterday, but he said that from 4 to 6, Russo and Rizzo sounded like some babies that were just crying on the airplane. He says he's running his errands from 2 to 4 going on from now forward.
And then also in the YouTube chat, by the way, if you want to join the show without having to call into the show,
it's easier.
Quick. Pull out your phone and let us know your thoughts on sports or life.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube and do that. Theo, I'm with you on the seat stuff, says Go Charlie Go. But you can't come for the babies, bro. You're just not going to win.
I don't understand that.
That you won't win.
No. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand why I cannot, because I'm correct. It's like once you have a baby, or if you're fighting on the side of the people that believe babies deserve every right to cry and inconvenience everybody else, then you're impervious to facts. Like, that's what I don't, there's no logic behind it. Literally in the office, at least Zaz agreed with me that babies crying on the plane are an inconvenience to others. I can't believe that all I said was it's inconvenient. Everybody in that office act like I was the devil himself. I said it is inconvenient though, right? Everybody's like, what? You can't say
no,
that.
If I had the option to choose, I would hope there are 25 babies crying on the plane.
You know what? And exactly, that's what they're acting like. They're acting like I was supposed to be graced and happy and joyful that, oh my God, I can't believe I was able to be on this plane and this baby kept me up. It's like, I can admit it's inconvenient, but then also admit that it's more troubling and inconvenient for the parents and nobody's enjoying this and we just want to get to our destination. But I don't like how I was made out to be the bad guy just for pointing that out.
A lot of grandstanding, ivory towering.
Then there were some people in the office without babies. Who have been, you know, and that's the phoniness. At least CK, you're a real one.
Yeah.
You are a phony as hell if you're going to act like you understand the place of the parents. What happened was they were making the same argument as me. They, you know, people pulled out the pitchforks and they turned. I shall not turn. Heck no, we won't go. I'm 10 toes down on that. I'm 10 toes Teddy. Keep your babies off the airplanes.
Well, wait.
Oh, say, okay.
Okay, you twisted too far.
I went too far.
Like, you were right before.
I was good, and then I went too far.
Right.
Can I back that up?
Yes.
I'm 10 toes Teddy. Babies on the airplane are inconvenient.
There we go. That's an indisputable fact.
It's a fact.
For everyone involved.
It is a fact.
If all things were perfect, babies would not be on airplanes.
Yes. Yes.
But all things aren't perfect.
They're not perfect.
Parents need to get them and their baby from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So it has to happen. But it's inconvenient.
It is inconvenient. And nobody loves your baby like you do. You know, like, no, I don't love your baby. So I'm not that enthralled with the fact that he's getting to his destination. I don't even know your baby.
Your baby should have stayed home. Your baby does not want to go to Colorado. What's he got going on there?
Your baby has no business.
He knows nobody in Colorado.
He doesn't even know people in your hometown. He doesn't even know you like that. He barely knows you.
He's going to forget this trip to Colorado.
It never happened.
It's a waste of money.
It never happened.
Why is he going to Orlando to begin with? Why bring your baby to Disney World?
That's a good question.
They will never thank you for it.
This, because you don't do it for the things. That's what I've heard this debate between
you do it
parents.
For the, you do it for the memories that the child has now ability to hold.
I do. This is a really heated debate, and we're not parents, so we haven't been in it.
No, I think we know enough.
But we know enough about the whole Disney World. Yeah, I think, you know what? We probably are more, parents some kind can be biased.
Yeah.
So we probably are more objective.
We're looking at it as an omniscient narrator.
Yeah.
Present the facts, and we will be the judge.
We should probably just teach a class to parents on parenting.
We'd know more.
Yes, as non-parents. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think we alienated in the last 2.5 minutes? Enough yet?
Ignited might be a word.
Like, is there somebody just like in their car?
I do know more about parenting than every parent in the office.
I will say this. I know more about parenting than some percentage of parents. Some percent. Is that fair?
That's
not
true.
A lot.
There's a non-zero percentage of parents that Theo is a better parent than.
I would say near 21%. That's
Whoa.
Not crazy. There's a lot of bad parents out there. There's like, a lot of negligent parents. There's parents that literally get arrested in due time because of how bad they are at parenting. I'm better
true.
Than them.
There's those parents that are in Breaking Bad, not the main characters, but when like Jesse Pinkman goes to the house and
yes.
the kid is all dirty, sitting on the couch watching him do whatever.
Technically,
those are bad parents. Theo, I would trust you with my kid over those parents.
Thank you. So 21% is a pretty fair gauge. That's pretty fair. I know more about parenting and am better at parenting as a non-parent than 21% of parents.
Yeah, 21% of parents in the office, Theo, you are a better
yes.
parent than them.
Yeah, there's got to be at least one or two in the office I'm better at.
We have a very diverse office.
Yes.
It's a good scope at the rest of the world.
I'm not going to assume anything.
Out of 10 of the parents in the office, Theo, I would trust you over them parenting my child.
And that's my only point. Now that we've stopped that, we continue the happy hour on the other side. We've got to get around to hop on. We might have to get out of town because I think there might be people beating down the door to the Evan Cohen studio.
Break through the window.
This is Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
I am reincarnated. I'm a stargazer. Life goes on. I need to hug my babies.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
What percentage of Americans would you assume, like adult Americans, are actual parents? Yeah, throw a number
out there. Man, in the South and in the Midwest, they have kids early and often.
Well, it only counts once. Once you become a parent, you're a parent. So it's not like how many you had. Like, what percentage of adults in America are parents?
Depending on the state you're in and the laws that are in that state.
How about you give a number? How about that? Instead of giving all these what the hell is up with you? You could never make it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
What's an adult? 18 plus?
Let's go 21 plus. 18 plus, yeah. 18 plus, yeah.
18 plus, I think it's probably 50%.
64.
Whoa.
That's a lot. I didn't realize that there was that many adults or parents.
I guess there's a lot more people that are 30 years and older than are 18 to 30.
Right. That's a smaller, age group. And there's a lot of people. For every person, there's two parents.
You
think about that. That's kind of what resonated with me.
Are they counting like banks and stuff though?
Banks. Yeah.
If you go donate and you never meet this person or know who ended up taking the kid.
If you don't have a kid yourself, I don't know. Well, no, it wouldn't count you because I believe they use the U.S. Census. And I believe if you do a donation and you don't have any kids, you can't.
I wouldn't register as a parent. Yeah.
You have to register as a parent? I guess you would register as having a dependent.
A guardian?
Yeah.
Because
it's not like being a sex offender. You have to register. You're a registered sex offender. You know you have to be a registered gang member, too? That's like a thing.
Wait, really?
One time I got pulled over.
Where's that
Houston.
Google Forms?
I don't know. I don't know. But this cop assumed I did. I got pulled over when I was like 17 in Houston. Was going over to this elementary school to play ball.
He used your logic against you. It's like, you know, if you're a cop, you got to tell me. You know, if you're in a gang, you got to tell me.
He asked me. He asked for my driver's license. The second question he asked me, he said, are you a registered gang offender, gang member?
Oh, so if you get in trouble for being affiliated in a gang, they can prove it?
That
stays with you?
Wow. What's a registered gang member?
I never filled out that paperwork.
Yeah, there's no, I didn't. If there
I
was
don't
a,
think gang members want to fill out paperwork.
Exactly. That's not like their thing. That's not like on their list of priorities. One of them is like, you know, throwing up signs and
brandish weapons at 3, and then at 4:30, we need to fill out the paperwork.
Steve, damn it. You didn't fill out your paperwork.
Oh, my gosh.
The second straight year this guy's unregistered.
He didn't want to get a physical.
Yeah.
You know when high school athletes...
He doesn't like needles.
Don't get their physicals done.
Yeah, that was the weirdest question. I didn't know how to answer it. I froze. When he asked me if I was a registered gang member, I was like, I don't know.
I think it is one of those things where if you get in trouble for it, they register you.
Okay.
You
kind
are
like
now
a sex
in the,
offender.
Yeah, you're kind of in the... You're in the computer system.
Right.
We got an eye on you.
And then if I would have said yes, he's like, we told you about driving around these parts.
Right. If someone also is a registered gang member, maybe with same descriptors geographically or associates, now you're going to get a knock at the door. Hey, do you know about him? When is the last time you've seen this guy?
It's true.
Because he disappeared for us after being a suspect for this crime.
I was a little bit like the young, idiotic Theo. Because I look very, I am a very happy-go-lucky, smiley, like, you know, I'm a nice guy.
Being hard on yourself.
I was kind of like, oh, you think I look tough? You know?
Oh, you thought that it was like, street cred.
I was like, yeah, y'all heard that. I had a couple boys in the car. But I was like, I heard they thought it was, you know what I'm saying?
So if someone said that to you today, you wouldn't take it as much of a compliment?
No, because I'm mature enough to know that the reason why the police officer was assuming I was a gang member. I was, you know, back then I was an idiot.
He asked.
That's a weird question, C-Cat. Nobody's ever asked me that since.
Okay.
It's a weird question. You want to take a trip?
Let's do it.
The SafeBound Get Around is brought to you by SafeBound Moving and Storage, South Florida's most trusted moving company. You're safe with SafeBound.
SafeBound Get Around is our way to get to the hottest topics all across the land, from place to place, city to city. And I need the SafeBound Get Around right now because our general manager, Steph, she's every time I walk out there into the office, she's mean mugging me and whatnot. I'm like, dude, it's like once you become a parent, you're able to just be irrational about certain things. Mm-hmm. And babies on the plane is one of those things, I guess. So I guess when I'm a parent, I'll be injected with that irrationality.
Next stop. Our first stop at the SafeBound Get Around brings us to...
No babies on the SafeBound Get Around, by the way.
No, we make our own rules.
Yeah.
It's in like the paperwork that you filed to join.
You're not allowed to bring a baby on the SafeBound Get Around.
You must be this tall and this old to ride the SafeBound Get Around.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry.
And you got to register, too. So
we're in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The NCAA has informed Michigan that the organization will announce the results of its sign-stealing investigation on Friday.
It's never good. It's never good when they give you like a 24-hour announcement period where they're like, hey, get ready, get set, prepare your press conference. We're dropping the results to next week. Like, imagine if you had some like results. Like, you went to the doctor. You want to see if this mole... Is benign. Is that the word you're looking for? Benign?
Yeah.
Non-cancerous?
Yeah, benign.
And he gets the results. So the doctor is like, I have your results. Come into my office tomorrow and I'll tell you. That is just undoubtedly not a good sign.
Hey, I think we should talk about this in person.
Yeah.
Not over the phone.
Yeah. That's what the NCAA is telling Michigan, which makes me feel inclined. I thought this thing was behind them, by the way. It makes me feel inclined that maybe this will be somewhat of a serious punishment. I thought it would be a slap on the wrist. If you don't remember what this is all over that Connor Stallions, you know, stuff, the Spygate Michigan stuff.
Showing up at Central Michigan in a different uniform in order to scout an opponent, because Central Michigan and Michigan, they have a pipeline there. They're allies, not enemies.
Yes, it seems like it, because they have access to the whole staff. I honestly don't think there's a punishment in the world the NCAA can levy on Michigan that will matter, because they have that national championship and they have that experience. And also, nobody takes this stuff seriously anymore. Like, there was one point where everybody in the world of college football thought that this was the most egregious crime, that this was above the Spygate stuff that the Patriots did. Now, post the Connor Stallions documentary and learning about how sign stealing is happening everywhere, it now has become somewhat of a phenomenon, somewhat of a joke. I don't think there's anything the NCAA can do that will actually sour that championship season. Like, what are you going to, like, suspend the coach a couple games or something? Like, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
I mean, it's weirdly parallel to the other sign-stealing scandal this decade.
Yeah.
Which was the Astros. That was the cheating that they were accused of and proven by doing. They won a championship in doing so.
Kept it.
And we're going to find out if the punishment is similar that the Astros got in Major League Baseball, what Michigan will suffer in college football.
What was the actual punishment? The Astros like lost draft picks and got fined?
No player got suspended whatsoever.
Yeah.
Suspensions like for coaches that's involved. That's what it was. AJ Hinch, excuse me. Alex Cora.
One. And then they end up getting the upgrade at manager. They bring in Dusty Baker to clean up the mess.
Yeah, no player got suspended. That's the thing. And with Michigan, that's not going to happen either. Like, none of these guys that are on the team right now.
They're in the NFL.
The biggest thing they can do is take away bowl eligibility.
Take away bowl eligibility would be tough. Now, that would be extremely tough because that would mean no playoffs. Like, that's different than even taking away bowl eligibility. In the past.
I think that should be on the table.
Wow.
I honestly think that bowl eligibility should be levied and considered because that is the precedent. It's okay to punish current and future players for previous players.
They do that all the time.
Crimes or previous organizational crimes.
Now, here's why I don't think they'll do that. If they were going to do something that drastic, they wouldn't do it this close to the start of the season because they would want players to have the optionality to transfer out. So if they are going to take away playoff eligibility, it'll likely be for next year. Now, again, that's extreme. We don't but the fact that they said, we got your results, we'll talk to you tomorrow, I do think it'll be something extreme. I just don't know. I really don't know how you can punish them in a way that matters.
To be fair, this was a leak. So they didn't announce. This is like going to be expected. The leaker, the anonymous person who leaked this information, did not tell. I think the decision
was made.
So we
think this leak must have came from the NCAA.
Yes, it's from inside those walls.
Okay. Because the NCAA is expected to hold a news conference early Friday afternoon to detail the findings.
Mm-hmm. The person spoke Thursday on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to share these details.
Okay.
So they were not authorized to say they were going to announce. If it was up to the NCAA, this would never have happened, and all of a sudden it'd be a headline tomorrow, bang, bombshell.
Friday afternoon news dump.
So maybe that makes me feel like exactly
a nothing burger. Ooh. We've come full circle.
Mm.
Michigan, you're fine. Because you know what? One thing we've learned about Michigan men, they are like addicted to cheating. Michigan men are, and they generally get away with it. Tom Brady, Stephen Ross, Jim Harbaugh. I mean, the list goes on. I'm sure there's other names I can't even think off top. Connor Stallions. Like, that's one of the pillars of being a Michigan man is cheating and then also circumventing those rules and getting away with it. Congrats.
Next stop.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, the land, baby. You know what? I'm going to stop acting like I don't like the land. I loved the land last week, so I'm rocking with y'all.
Well, you might like it a little bit less because bad news out of Cleveland. Quarterback Shedeur Sanders is not expected to play in Saturday's preseason game against the Eagles. The team announced yesterday per Ian Rappaport.
I got one question.
Is that bad news or is it good news?
I got one question. See, because I was thinking this week when I heard Shedeur had a little bit of an issue, hamstring issue. I'm like, what would be better for Shedeur Sanders? To go out and perform well against the Eagles, but risk having a bad game. Or, and he wouldn't choose this route, it's an injury that's keeping him out. Or, for him to be not available against the defending champions who are deep on defense, one of the best defensive teams of the past 5 years, and allow for one of those knuckleheads in that quarterback battle with you to go take on those bullets from Philly, like Dylan Gabriel. Or Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco. Now, I'm trying to see is Gabriel healthy enough as well because he was banged up. Is he going to play? Kevin Stefanski will protect Dylan Gabriel versus the Eagles, Browns analysts suggest. If you're Shedeur Sanders, you want Dylan Gabriel to go out there and play against the Eagles and make a fool out of himself.
I don't know, man. I think that the organization isn't that dumb. Like, maybe in his endorsement deals and his public perception, Shedeur Sanders not playing works out.
Yeah.
But the closer you get to the regular season, the closer you get to a simulated regular season game. And I think that you do want those reps with the ones, as many of them as possible.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, no. Shedeur should want to play. I'm saying if he doesn't play.
I think the team should want him to play and want him to be healthy. And I think that it will hurt his chances at being a week one starter by not playing week two.
I think he did enough. Week two. I think he did enough against a bad Panthers defense that if Gabriel goes out there and looks rough against the Eagles twos and threes, that's going to be another feather in the cap for Shedeur Sanders. And then he just got to go out there and perform in week three. Who do they have week three?
All of these games are fake to me. They don't even exist.
I know.
Well, I think Flacco's starting, though. That's why I think it's predetermined that nothing happening preseason will affect the week one starter, in my opinion.
Shedeur should start.
Well, should. Yeah. Should as in everything's telling you that's going to happen, yeah, or that would be best for the Browns.
It would be best for the Browns, but everything is not telling me. I've got to be honest. I'm too honest. The Browns are likely going to do the boring play, but it would be a hell of a lot better for that franchise if they started Shedeur Sanders, especially in a game against the Cincinnati Bengals, where we know they are 1-11 in weeks one and week two since Zach Taylor has taken over. They've won one week one or week two game. This is a perfect spot for the Browns to start Shedeur and get a win.
And that final dress rehearsal for the regular season in the NFL, week three in the preseason, it's the Rams.
Yeah, I like that. The Rams at home. Shedeur starting that game. You want to know why Shedeur's starting that game?
Why?
Because
the game is at home and they love ticket sales in Cleveland. You're undoubtedly going to make more money if Shedeur starts your home preseason game than not. Let the Eagles gate be weak. Don't do it to yourself. It's preseason. About the bread.
Our final stop of the get around, brought to you by SafeBound, brings us to Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey, the land, the motherland.
Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice is expected to have his disciplinary hearing with the NFL on September 30th. Remember, he is facing a suspension after he and another speeding driver caused a chain reaction car crash that injured multiple people in Dallas in 2024. This is true. Rice will likely be able to play the first 4 weeks of the season before any potential discipline is imposed, per Adam Schefter.
This is actually perfect scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs. And let me just lay it out why in a very quick way. Number one, Rashee Rice is Mahomes' number one target. He missed Rice since he went out week three with an injury last year and did not come back. He is the guy that Mahomes is going to look for more often than not, especially in the spots where Kelce used to be strong at. Let me list out the 4 weeks in which Rashee Rice will be allowed to play. Versus the Chargers, divisional game against a really tough opponent. Home against the Eagles. Against the Giants the next week after that. That doesn't really matter. But then you have the Ravens. So in the first 3 weeks, you have the Chargers, Eagles, and the Ravens.
Giants are on primetime. Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean,
for what it's worth.
I mean, cool. But more specifically, you have three playoff teams, one divisional game, a Super Bowl rematch in there. You need Rashee Rice to be playing at full strength. He looks like he's healthy. He's good to go. The only thing that can stop him is the suspension. But also, the beauty for this for the Kansas City Chiefs and for Rashee Rice, if he gets suspended week five and on, we're talking about 4 more weeks for them to be able to get reps at camp and in practice with the guys that are supposed to be able to replace him in that role, like Jalen Royals, who the Chiefs got in the fourth round this year, who people say is Rashee Rice-esque. This is a perfect scenario for him. I do hope that the league is not soft-handed, even as a Chiefs fan, because I do believe that players speeding is an issue that needs to be addressed. This is the Baptist Health Offseason Football Report. This is Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We address the Taylor Swift appearance on the New Heights podcast tomorrow.
Gotta let everyone watch it.
Yeah, 2 hours. Give people time. We address C-Cat's movie excursion and parking lot pimping tomorrow. And also, I must address the fact that we are heading right off of this show to West Boca High School for the football showdown of all showdowns. There's going to be more media there at this game. Like I'm hearing it's going to be like 70, 80 different media members all trying to cover this football game. Shaman Abadana, West Boca High School football. It's a national showcase. You're headed there now to call that game, C-Cat, on ESPN 106.3 and on our YouTube page at ESPN Top 63. C-Cat, I know you're going to make a pit stop first.
Yeah, because I need some fuel. both in the gasoline sense and in the food sense. I'm going to racetrack, baby, and you should too on your way home today, on your way out tonight, on your way into work tomorrow. Go to Racetrack. It's more than just a one-stop shop for a football tailgate, because they are everyone in Palm Beach County, the Treasure Coast football team's biggest fan. With whatever gets you going style of convenience, Racetrack is the go-to for all game day essentials, from ice-cold drinks, salty snacks, sweet treats, and freshly made in-house pizza. A lot of options there on that freshly made pizza board. Racetrack proudly operates under the mission of making people's lives simpler and more enjoyable, serving as the one-stop shop for quality and convenience on the go. At Racetrack, you're not just a customer, you're part of the team. 7.5 million customers strong. Yeesh. Every year?
No.
Every month? That's every week people are going to fuel up themselves and their cars at Racetrack. From Friday night lights to unforgettable touchdowns that light up the scoreboard, Racetrack, they're proud to support and fuel the passion and spirit of our young athletes. Join them this fall. Cheer on your favorite local high school football team at Racetrack. They're proud to fuel dreams by supporting our local high school teams. Together, they're making a difference.
When you are willing to accept darkness, it's only then you find the light. The New York Jets are going to pull themselves from the pits of hell that was Aaron Rodgers, that was a 14-year drought from making the playoffs. They're going to be a good football team going forward. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy.